Hey, I made it. That's a huge glory to God, isn't it? Wowie zowie. Say, Pastor Rusty, does it hurt? Amen, it hurts. But I'll tell you, I can't tell you. Yes, I can, because I'm telling you. What a difference it means just to be with people. To be with the family of God, and how encouraging that is for me in every way. And if I'm gonna have a little pain a little bit, I will do so much better with a little bit of pain being with you guys than if I was just sitting in the base of my house, sitting on that comfy chair. There is no comfy chair with this. There's no such thing as being comfy. I haven't been comfy in 10 days. But be that as it may, I have a lot of comfort being with you guys. I know that I'll be spiritually energized having been with you. And don't feel sorry for me, but keep on praying for me, okay? Because, yes, the pain has been very real. And we're going to trust God that the bloating will go down, that the swelling will go down, and things will just continue to flow as they should. Amen? Amen. There, got that out. Now we're done with it. I started several weeks ago, a four-week series of messages on the subject of spiritual disciplines. I think maybe some of us squirm a little bit when we start talking about those words, spiritual disciplines, because the insertion of that word discipline into spirituality raises all kinds of uncomfortable issues for us. Spirituality sounds cool, doesn't it? Sounds cool to a lot of people these days. It's with it in our culture if you are spiritual or you are spiritualized. But once we insert the idea of discipline into spirituality, I think that's when people start to get a little skittish and people begin to pull away. The last time I preached with you all, we talked about the discipline of prayer, about the fact that we can come to a point in our lives that when we have a disciplined prayer life, it turns it into a joy. And this morning, I want to have the privilege of talking about the privileges of a disciplined life when it comes to our connections to the Word of God and the Bible, the reading and the study of God's Word, which I think also turns into something. It's an outstanding joy when we come to that point in our lives. But the question I have is this. How do we get there? Amen? Huh? How do we get there? How do we ever get to the point where spiritually we start looking forward to times of Bible reading and Bible study? What is the pathway to discovering that? And that's the privilege I get to talk about with you all this morning. I don't want to be always talking about me and preaching me and my experiences. But on the other hand, if somehow my spiritual journey can be of encouragement to any of you, I'll share some of my personal stories that maybe could be of encouragement to you in your lives. Some of you are probably thinking, because I'm a pastor, I've been a pastor for a good long time, that means I've just always wanted to study God's Word. You've just always been that way, haven't you, Pastor Rusty? That's the way it's always been for you, right? That's what you pastor types are like, right? And the answer for me would be, actually, no. Some of you heard some of my story last time I was talking about some of these things. I was not born into a Christian family by any means, but my Uncle Wayne started taking little Russie to church when I was very young. And later on, at about age 7, I prayed to receive Jesus Christ into my life. And shortly after that, my parents also came to receive Christ into their lives, and we started to be immersed in the life of Christ and the life of the church. And so as soon as I started to become a Christian, as soon as our family got connected, that is when I started reading the Bible and getting excited about it. Right, Pastor Rusty? Right? Actually, wrong. Now, I will concede, in those earlier days, I did have an interest in the Bible. I did. I did enjoy many of the Sunday school classes that I went to. I didn't enjoy pastors' long sermons. I usually checked out of those, by the way. But I did enjoy Sunday school, and I enjoyed being a part of the Awana Club in the middle of the week when we had that, and later on being in a youth group, and being in a Bible study with a bunch of my peers was good if all my friends were there, and if the teaching wasn't too boring. But did I ever pick up the Bible? and just read it on my own? Did I ever pick up the Bible just so I could have a one-on-one time with God? The answer back in those days would have been, I don't want to disappoint you, but the truth is that the answer would have been no. Now, I heard, growing up in the church, that we should read the Bible. I heard that we should be in the Word. But I would kind of console myself by saying, well, at least I'm in church. At least I'm a part of a youth group. At least I'm coming to church. That should count for something. I'm better than most people. And after my mother came to a saving faith in Jesus Christ, she became a voracious student of the Word of God. Some of you have come to know my mom over the years because she came to this church here for about 13 years. And in that time period, when she started growing in the Lord, she turned into a voracious student of God's Word, and she read it all the time. And I'll never forget the conversation we had. I think it must have been like early middle school or something like that. And she said, Rusty, don't you just love reading the Bible? We used to talk about biblical things at home a lot, which I did enjoy, and I didn't know how to answer her question without making her feel bad, because if I had been honest, the answer would have been, actually, Mom, no. I don't enjoy reading the Bible. I mean, who wants to say that to his Christian mother, amen? You don't want to say that to your Christian mom. But that would have been the truthful answer if I would have said it. And then later on, as you've heard my story, I've shared this so many times from the pulpit, Karen and I met at Camp Hickory, and we got involved with some wonderful Christian camp ministry. And we would have many times of listening to good pastors preaching from the pulpit there, preaching to the kids, preaching to teens. We are part of many Bible studies in our prep there for getting ready for a week of camp. I really enjoyed those kinds of things. But did I ever have a hunger to just sit there and read the Bible for the sheer joy of it on my own? Actually, the answer would have been no. And it wasn't until I had graduated, get this now, until I graduated from college and we had moved down to northern Illinois and I was working full-time at Camp Hickory and going to seminary on the side. And in that time period, we were about 2 miles away from a church called Fox Lake Baptist Church. And we got connected to a wonderful group of believers at Fox Lake Baptist Church. And in time, Pastor Jerry Marshall got called to be the senior pastor of our church. And I have to admit, his preaching, his teaching was absolutely dynamic. And I was so drawn to the Word of God through his teaching and preaching ministry. But in so many of his messages, it almost seemed like it was every week, we hear this challenge for us to be in the Word. You know, we Christians need to be in the Word. And every week I'd hear this over and over and over again, you know, this challenge to be a man of the Word. And finally, feeling so terribly guilty over it, you know what I did? I started reading the Bible on my own. Not to prepare a Sunday school class, not because I was leading some kind of a Bible study somewhere or anything like that, just for my own personal growth and benefit, just for me and God. And do you know what? Pastor Jerry was right. Reading the Bible, studying the Bible as a daily part of life wasn't a pain. It was turning out for me to be a pleasure. And as I started getting into it and making it a habit, just like Pastor Jerry taught us, suddenly if I missed it, I really missed it. There were times when I would miss it, and quite frankly, I didn't miss it. But at this stage of my life, if I would miss having my personal private time with God, I really missed it. And suddenly I didn't want to miss anymore. And now some 40 years later, I stand before you at age 63 and 3/4 or something like that. As a pastor who reads the Bible almost every day. Not every day, but almost every day. Never anymore because I have to, but because I love to, because I want to. And so unquestionably, I would like to be the Pastor Jerry Marshall of your life, okay? I want to be the Pastor Jerry Marshall for you. And throughout my pastoral ministry with you, I'd love to have you learn the joy of being a student who persistently reads and studies God's Word. How does the discipline of Bible reading and Bible study become a joy to us? Pastor Rusty, how do we ever get there? I'll tell you, let's start first of all by hearing God's call for us to be men and women of the Word. I don't want to run you over this morning with guilt-laced, anxiety-producing ought-tos. Later on, I'm going to give you a whole bunch of practical how-tos. But I want you to hear afresh what God wants from you, what God wants for you. And I want you to hear how God's Word can really be a special part of your life from God's point of view. After Moses died, his successor was a man by the name of Joshua. And in Joshua chapter 1, verse 8, God speaks to Joshua and says this, "Keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night, that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Speaking from his own personal experience, David wrote this, King David, in Psalm 119:105, "Your word is a lamp for my feet and a light unto my path." God's word would illumine the way that God wanted him to go. David said he did not want to neglect the word of God in Psalm 119, verse 15 and 16. "I meditate on your precepts and consider your ways. I delight in your decrees. I will not neglect your word." Maintaining purity, maintaining moral and sexual purity must have been extremely difficult in David's time. I think it's also extremely difficult living in our time as well. How did we ever get to the point where we're going to be morally and sexually pure? How's that ever going to happen in our lives? Psalm 119, verse 9 and 11 says, "How can a young person stay on the path of purity? By living according to your word. I've hidden your word in my heart that I may not sin against you." And when the Apostle Paul was writing a letter to a young pastor by the name of Timothy about how you do pastoral ministry, this is what he says in 2 Timothy 3:14 to 17, "But as for you, consider what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know from those whom you have learned it, and how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching and rebuking and correcting and training in righteousness, that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work." That's an interesting sound. Woo! That's the sound of the Holy Spirit working in our church. There you go. If you're around the church here at FCC, I'm banking on the fact that you're being exposed to the Word of God on a regular basis. That's the way we want things to be. Maybe as you're around here, it inspires you to want to read the Bible more on your own. So what do we do with God's Word? Colossians 3:16 says, "Let the message of Christ, let the Word of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts." Ephesians chapter 6 tells us we can put on spiritual armor every day. We can be effective in doing spiritual battle. We're not living on a playground. We're living each day on a battleground, eh? And the way that we do that, the way we get prepared for battle every day, is to be in the Word of God. Ephesians 6:17 says, "Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God." And what Timothy, what Paul writes to Timothy is what Paul is writing in a very personal way to us in 2 Timothy 2:15. "Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a worker who has no need to be ashamed, who rightly handles the word of truth." Hey, listen, even Jesus was tempted by Satan. You're not the only one who's ever been tempted. Jesus was tempted too. How did Jesus overcome? How do we overcome in times of real temptation? Jesus says in Matthew 4:4, "It is written, man shall not live on bread alone," but on what? "On every word that comes from the mouth of God." Some of you have maybe never been exposed to the breadth of all those verses I've just given you here. And I don't want to overwhelm you with guilt and make you feel bad about what you haven't been doing or anything like that. But I do want you to hear afresh how clearly God is calling us into a deeper relationship with Him, a deeper walk with Him through persistent and consistent reading and study of God's Word. And I say that with a measure of added conviction, knowing that in many churches today, listen to me now, There is no expectation that people should have to be in the Word. There are some churches you could go to, they would never emphasize it. You would never hear a sermon like this maybe in some other churches. Maybe you already know this, but in some churches, I think the message is kind of like this. Well, you just come to church, and we will tell you what the Bible says, and we'll tell you what the Bible means. You don't have to read and study for yourself. You just trust us. You just trust us. Woo! We're not going to do it that way based upon the teaching of God's Word, and you're going to find out why that's true as you're going to be reading today. Here at FCC, based upon what's in the Bible itself, we need to be men and women who are men and women of the Word, men and women who are consistently and persistently reading and studying and coming into contact with the Bible as a way of life and that as a lifestyle. But then the question practically is, okay, Pastor Rusty, how do we do it? If I want to do it, how am I going to get something out of it? Some people will be honest, and they've even said to me as a pastor, Pastor Rusty, I tried that once. And quite frankly, it didn't work. I just got bored. I got bored to tears. I couldn't get anything out of it, so I just kind of quit, and I said I would never go back to it. Listen, there's a great many classes that you can take in all kinds of places for how to read and to study the Bible. We offer classes here at FCC over that. There's great books you can read and how to read and to study the Bible. But I want to give you, if I can, the Rusty Lion version, all right? I don't want to quote a bunch of other people. I want to give you the Rusty Lion version and how I think you could begin to get something out of God's Word that would really transform your life on a daily basis. So here's some of my practical insights I want to share with you. Number one, if you want to have the Word of God come alive to you and it's going to make an impact in your life, how's that going to happen? Number one, try to set aside a regular time where you can be in God's Word. Get this now. Write this down. Each day. Try to set aside a regular time where you can be in God's Word each day. Finding time can be extremely challenging when you're first starting out. Amen? Can I get an amen out of that for some of you? I will admit it. Finding time when you're a new Christian is extremely difficult because you're adding something to your life you weren't doing before. Finding time to do it when you're a mom who got kept up all night because of a screaming baby, that's a challenge, isn't it? That is the challenge. And I want you to know as a pastor, I most certainly understand that. But we need to find time on a regular basis where we can be in God's Word almost every day. Now, I'm going to ask the question, does it have to be in the morning? How many people think it has to be in the morning? How many people think I'm going to say it has to be in the morning? Lamentations 3, 22 and 23, the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every what? Every morning. Great is your faithfulness. Psalm chapter 5, verse 3, O Lord, in the morning you hear my voice. In the morning I prepare a sacrifice for you and I watch. But I want to tell you, that's not a legalism. That's not a legalism. I'm not saying that. It's not saying you have to read the Bible first thing when you get out of bed in the morning. For some of you, if you did that and you would have your Bible reading as soon as you get out of bed, in about 5 seconds flat, your face would be planted on the Bible with spit all over on page 5. You'd be drooling all over your Bibles. And yet for others of us, when we're talking about making this a joyful discipline in your life, if you didn't do it in the morning, maybe you'd never get around back to it. Because by the time you get back to some of the later part of the day, you'd be so exhausted. And if you tried to have your quiet time laying on your bed right before you went to sleep, you would never have any quiet time whatsoever. Because you'd be drooling all over your Bible in about 5 seconds flat that way too. Some of you who drive a car for longer distances can get a hold of a Bible app. And they'll read the Bible to you. Isn't that something? What a great way to be in the Word every day. For some of you who are not particularly good readers, but you travel a lot on your job or your career, that's the way that you can be able to take in God's Word. Some scriptures reference the intake of God's Word at night. Psalm chapter 1, verse 2, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. Psalms chapter 16, verse 7, I bless the Lord who gives me counsel. In the night, also my heart instructs me. And so for some people, having a nighttime devotions is better for them. When you wake up in the middle of the night and you can't go back to sleep, for some of you, having a time in the Word can be a good time for you. So number one, have a time. Set a time where you're going to try to get together with God on a regular basis every day. I'm going to say almost every day. And then secondly, this is Pastor Rusty's advice now, consider having a place where you can be in God's Word every day. I had talked about that a couple weeks ago when I was talking about prayer, that maybe sitting in front of a fireplace with a cup of coffee in your hand. For some of you ladies, maybe a cup of tea. For some of you teenagers, with a Mountain Dew, right? Or a Pepsi or a Dr. Pepper could be a really, really good thing for you. Is sitting at a table helpful instead of sitting on the couch so you don't get sleepy? When it's in season, when I can do it, I love sitting out on my porch in the late spring and in the summer and in the fall. I can hardly wait for it to come back again in the next couple months. So have a time that you're going to set aside on an almost everyday basis. Have a place where you can be in God's Word every day. And get this. This is Pastor Rusty's practical stuff. Read something every day. Okay? Read something each day. This is extremely helpful when you're trying to get it to a place where it is now a habit in your life, which I think is what the discipline part is all about. Amen? That's what we're really talking about. Listen to me. I used to go weeks on end. This is Pastor Rusty being honest with you. When I was not a pastor, I used to go weeks on end without reading the Bible. And periodically, I'd pick up my Bible and read maybe a little something, but it wasn't a habit. And so I would say at the beginning, if you're just getting started, don't worry about time. Don't worry about length. How long that it has to be. Just do it. Amen? Just do it. I remember in my earlier life, if I hadn't been reading earlier in the day and I'd missed it, and it was now getting into the evening time, sometimes I would just pick up the Bible. This is going to sound stupid to some of you. But I'd pick up my Bible and I'd read a verse or two. And I'd shut the Bible and I'd go right back to sleep. But I knew if I didn't pick up the Bible and read it on that day, one day leads to 2 days. And missing 2 days means missing 3 days. And 3 days leads to 5 days. And 5 days leads to 7 days. And listen, 7 days without reading a Bible makes a week. W-E-A-K. Not just W-E-E-K. And there will come a time when it's not going to be that big of an issue for you anymore. But at the beginning, when you're learning the joy of making it a discipline, read something every day. How do you get something out of the Word? How does it become a joyful part of your life? Number four, choose a book of the Bible to read and stick with it until you've completely finished it. A great many people who are well-intentioned Christians read the Bible this way. They'll pick up the Bible, if I could hold it in my hands, and they'll flip it, and they'll say, okay, God, give me something that I can get out of the Word today. And so they'll flip it, and they put their finger on it, and a guy did that one time. You ever heard this story? He said, Lord, show me something out of the Word, something I can really use today. And he flicked his Bible open, and he stuck his finger on the page, and it said, Judas went out and hung himself. He said, oh, Lord, I need something better than that. Come on, Lord, really, give me a message I could really have today. And so he flips his Bible open, and he plops it on the table, and he puts his finger, and it says, go thou and do likewise. No, come on, Lord, I'm really serious. Lord, I want to really get something out of the Word today. And so he flips his Bible open the third time and puts his finger on the page, and it says, what thou doest, do quickly. Listen, is someone that you love, your boyfriend, your girlfriend, your husband, your wife, sent you a letter in the mail, how would you read it? Would you read like page one and then, you know, skip on down to page five, read a couple paragraphs there, and then maybe go on down to page eight and see what you have there and just kind of flip little portions back and forth? No, you would never do that. You'd read the whole thing from start to finish, forwards and backwards, and then you might find some other parts you want to go back to. And the same principle is there when you're getting started in the Word. Say you're getting started in the Gospel of John. And I happen to think for people who are not used to reading the Bible, Pastor Rusty, where do I start? I think the Gospel of John is a great place to start if you haven't been doing this for quite a while. And so you start in John chapter 1. And you read for as much time as you have. Or for as much time as you feel led. And then you close it. You pick up the Bible the next time, maybe later in the day, maybe the next day, and you go to the very place where you left off, and you start reading there, and you pick up a train of thought, and gradually, you get a working knowledge of God's Word. So you set a time, right? And you set a place, and you've determined it's going to be a daily thing. Here's something I think is very important. Number five, ask the Holy Spirit to give you an ability to see something in the Word that can make a difference in your life. I don't want to make too much of this, and not want to make too little about it. I'm not saying that if you say this brief prayer, all of a sudden you're going to get a whoop, some kind of a spiritual jolt, and all of a sudden you're going to be riveted to the page. But I do believe asking God to help you in the study of His Word is a good thing, isn't it? And so ask God at the beginning, what do you have for me today? And here's the prayer that I have prayed many times. It comes right out of the Bible itself. Psalm 119, 18. Open my eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of your law. Could you somehow memorize that? Could you memorize that? And on a regular basis, when you're about to get into God's Word, say, open my eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of your law. And here's where this matter of spiritual discipline starts to help you dig deeper. And where you get more out of it. As you have read a portion of God's Word, keep track of what you think God might be saying to you or teaching you. Some people have a name for this. Some people call it journaling. Some people call it taking notes. Some people call it all different kinds of things. You can call it whatever you want. But consider capturing some of the observations and the inference that you saw or have noticed and take them as God's Word to you. Rather than just reading the Bible and reading a verse or two or a chapter and you put it down and you walk away from it and you really didn't get anything out of it, slow down and grapple with the text for a moment and write out something that might be what God is showing you at that given time. There's lots of ways you can do this. Some people will keep a journal. Some people keep a notebook. Just out of curiosity, how many people keep a journal or a notebook in our church? I know there are some people who have a great joy in doing that. Sometimes that's a good thing. I've done it for many years. But recently, I've come across doing something a certain way, and I just wanted to share with you. Not that you've got to do it my way, not that you should follow my example and do everything that I do, but here's something I've been doing recently in the last couple of years that's been very helpful. I'll take my laptop computer and I'll set it where? On my lap. Because it's a laptop. And I'll Google BibleGateway.com. Write that down. BibleGateway.com, which is a program that will allow you to look up any book of the Bible in all kinds of translations, anyone that you want. And let's just say we're going to do this out of the book of John. I'm not in John, right? Let's just say that I was. And so I'm going to find on BibleGateway.com the book of John, John chapter 1. And then, here's something that I do. I'll dial up some quiet worship music that plays in the background. Not too loud, so it drowns out my train of thought, but just to kind of keep me in a worshipful mood and to keep me from falling asleep when I'm trying to read the Bible. And then, thirdly, I will have formed a Word document on my computer for the book of the Bible that I'm reading. Say it's John once again with the date that I'm reading it. And I will read on Bible Gateway, John chapter 1, as an example, and I'll record any impressions or thoughts that God may have given me in that time period, and I'll toggle back and forth. And I have a record of what I think that God has been saying to me in that quiet time that I had with Him. And at the end of my time, sometimes what I'll even do is type out a brief prayer. I'll have prayer underlined. And it's just like maybe not even a full paragraph. just a way for me to respond to God in a way that God has spoken to me, in a way that I can record that God and I have actually talked about something. And this is very, very meaningful to me. And then as of late, I have been printing off what I've been writing. And I'm saving it, hoping that maybe in the future I could give it to my kids or to my grandkids or maybe to someone else so they can maybe use it somewhere along the line. I want to ask you, would you be willing to try it? I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand. How many people, don't raise your hand. How many people might be willing to try it? Try it this week. Get on your laptop. Get some good worship music going on in the background. Go to John chapter 1 and have a Word document and just toggle back and forth and say, God, what are you saying to me? And see what starts to actually come up. Even as I am saying these things to you, realize, though, as your pastor, I'm your pastor. I'm not your scholar. I'm your pastor more than anything else. And I'm mindful of each of you as individuals. I'm sensitive to the fact that God has wired us all differently. And I don't believe that we are all cookie cutter the same. I'm going to say it from the pulpit. Some people, in the way that God has put us together, we are wired for study. Reading books, reading the Bible, underlining things in books, underlining in our Bible, writing things down. Man, we love it. And for others of us, if we're just honest about it, reading books is kind of akin to pulling teeth. Amen? It's just really hard. Don't raise your hands. But for how many of you is reading books like really super boring? And reading the Bible is kind of scary to you because, I've got to sit and read. And quite frankly, I really don't like reading. I want you to know as your pastor, I understand that. I fully understand that. Now, some people are given over to study and reading and reflection, and they love that kind of thing. And others of us are more hands-on and say, Lord, if you want me to do something at the church, be an usher, you know, lead in some way, do something, I'd be glad to do that. But reading, oh, Lord, that's so hard. And while I recognize those differences, listen now, I don't want you to miss out on the joy of discovery, of knowing God in a personal way through the disciplined reading and application of God's Word to your life. I don't want you to miss it. I don't want you to miss it. There were saints that I have known over the years who, though they are not necessarily what I call scholars, they haven't got a big degree behind their name, they have a love for the Word of God. And they can't get enough of it. And there's a tremendous joy that they've acquired in their life because of the consistent reading of the Word of God in their lives. And I want you to be able to get in on that. I think every Christian can gravitate to a place where God's Word becomes highly valued in our lives. And it's not something we just tolerate. And it's not just for pastors. And it's not just for super saints. It's for any number of us. Number 7. Let's do this. Let's acknowledge the difference between Bible reading and Bible study, okay? I suppose I'm talking more this morning about Bible reading and devotional reading than I am about intentional, in-depth Bible study this morning, and maybe you're a little frustrated with that. But there are great tools that you can use to help you acquire truth if you're a serious student of the Word of God. Just being honest about it, I'm not going to be able to cover those in any depth today like I would have liked. But if you're newer to all this, here is just one of the most fundamental ways you can be able to do a study of God's Word. 3 principles: observation, interpretation, and application. Observation, what do I see? Interpretation, what does it mean? What did it mean at the time when it was written? What did it mean in history? What did it mean to the first readers of the first hearers? How did they understand it back then? And then having done the observation part and then the interpretation part, that leads us to the application part. What does this have to do with me? How does this affect my life right now? That's what I do as your pastor all the time. I'm doing sermon preparation. I'm doing observation. I'm doing interpretation. And hopefully in every message, I'm kind of getting around to practical application. There are 4 other steps of Bible study that Richard Foster talks about in his book. He talks about repetition, that you read it through more than once. You don't just read it one time. Concentration, centering the mind. Comprehension, insight and discernment and reflection. Then you're talking about the significance of what you're actually studying. But having said all that, number eight, make sure that the ultimate focus of your time in the Word is aiming towards life application. Okay? Make sure that with the time you spent in God's Word, you're finding a way to make it apply to your life, to your family, to your marriage, to what you're going through on a daily basis. Why are you reading? Why are you doing this? Just to have something interesting to read? Just to gather biblical trivia? Napoleon seized control of Spain in 1808, and he forced Ferdinand VII to resign the Spanish throne. Napoleon placed his brother Joseph on the throne and threw Ferdinand into solitary confinement in that notorious Navy prison, the place of the skull. Ferdinand, who had been pampered as the king, was suddenly in a single room filled with filth and vermin. He was only given one personal possession, a copy of the King James Version Bible. So for 7 years, Ferdinand's only break with the boredom of his dungeon was to read the Bible. And he must have read through the Bible hundreds of times. When he was finally freed from prison and returned to his throne in 1814, his jailers found a curious collection of Bible notes and comments with a small piece of metal he had even scratched into the walls of his cells, the fruit of his 7 years of biblical study. There were hundreds of commentaries such as these. There are 33,214 verses in the Bible. There are 774,746 words in the Bible. There are 838,830 letters in the New Testament. The shortest chapter is Psalms 117. Ezra 7:21 contains every letter of the English alphabet except the letter J. Esther 8:9 is the longest verse in the Bible. John 11:35 is the shortest verse in the Bible, etc., etc. He had 7 years to study the Word of God. And for all of the 7 years, all he got out of it was just a bunch of minor biblical trivia. Some people read the Bible maybe on a periodic basis, but they really don't want to get anything out of it. They don't want to get anything out of it. Here are some models that you can use that might help you mine something practical and life-changing out of the Word for you. Some people call it the Specs method. How many people ever heard of the Specs method? It's gonna come on the screen. Is there a sin to confess? So you read a passage of Scripture, ask these questions. Is there a sin to confess? Ooh, God, you got me there today, right? Is there a promise to claim? Is there an example to follow? Is there a command to obey? Is there a stumbling block for me to avoid? And so you read a section of the Word of God, and you go through this Specs method and see what God might have taught you in the course of that time period. Or here's some other questions you could ask. Is there a truth to rest in? Is there an error to avoid? Is there a challenge for me to heed? Is there an action I should take? Is there something I should do? How does this passage help me personally? How can this passage be of help to someone else that I love and I care about? Listen to me, unquestionably, as a result of today's message, I want to inspire you to be a lifetime reader, a lifetime student of the Word of God. I don't want you to just come to church and hear sermons and go to Bible studies or do the things that you do, but you never get engaged in the Word of God yourself. Listen, someone had to just about nag me to death. Someone had to just about prod me to get off the dime. And I'm so glad that Pastor Jerry never let me off the hook. And I want to be the kind of pastor for you that prods you on a regular basis to be a student of God's Word. Somebody said a Bible that is falling apart usually belongs to someone who isn't. Isn't that true? A dusty Bible is a symbol of a dirty life, says Dr. Bob Ricker. And if you take me up on the things I've talked about today, never regret it. You'll be so glad. You say, Pastor Rusty, I can't thank you enough for preaching that message. It's finally got me off the dime where I really want to become a lifetime reader and a student of the Word of God. R. Kent Hughes, in his book, The Disciplines of a Godly Man, said, you must remember this. You can never have a Christian mind without reading or listening to the Scriptures regularly, because you cannot be profoundly influenced by that which you do not know. Isn't that something? And so, Father, I thank you for the diligent men in my life that prodded me continually and had to push me and nag me in a godly way to get me to the point where I'd be even receptive to seriously engaging you through the reading and the study of the Word of God. And I pray that this story would be repeated time and time again, over and over again. I pray, dear God, that you would speak to us. Take us deeper with you, not surface level. Take us deeper in the knowledge of who you are and what you want from our lives through the disciplined reading and the study of the eternal, inspired, infallible Word of God. We pray these things in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen.